So the title of my talk today is Rationality from a Biological Perspective. I'll start with a quick overview of the themes. Firstly, I want to talk about the connection between the biological notion of adaptiveness or adaptation and the notion of rationality. Secondly, to reflect a bit on the meaning of the concept of rationality itself in the context of this link. Thirdly, to ask some general questions about how evolutionary considerations can and should inform the way we think about rationality and about the concept of it. Then to pose the question of whether there's a biological foundation for traditional norms of rationality. So my focus here is primarily on rational action rather than rational beliefs or a domain of practical rather than theoretical reason, but not entirely. So the concept of adaptation, I mean, very familiar to most people. So by an adaptation in evolutionary biology, we typically mean a trait that enhances an organism's biological fitness and evolved for that reason, so typically makes some identifiable contribution to the organism's survival or to its chances of finding a mate and reproducing. The familiar so-called adaptationist program in evolutionary biology sounds more doctrinaire than it is, but really it's just part and parcel of the science, which seeks to identify organisms' traits and to try and find their adaptive significance or the reason for which they evolved. Very familiar. And of course, this paradigm is applicable to behavioural and cognitive traits as much as it is to aspects of the organism's morphology and physiology. And I maintain that in an obvious and fairly untendentious sense that this is a normative notion, in that it makes irreducible appeal to what's good for the organism in an instrumental sense. Obviously not in an ethical sense, but in the sense of what it needs to do, what it should do, in order to fulfill its biological telos. Could be debated, but in the sense in which I intended, I don't think it's controversial. And it's also a kindred and familiar point that the concept of adaptation licenses a sort of quasi-teleological idiom in which we ask what an organism's trait is for, what its function is, what its purpose is, intending all the time, of course, to allude not to the reasons, if any, for which the organism performs the behaviour of the trait is behavioural, but rather the reasons for which it was favoured by natural selection. So that's the starting point. This is fairly well-worn territory in biology and in philosophy of science. So adaptive behaviour, then, is really just the application of that suite of ideas about adaptation to a specific case of behavioural traits. It concerns, therefore, behaviour that's appropriate to an organism's environment in the sense of being fitness-enhancing. And so I'm a highly non-trivial question of what exactly you mean by fitness here. We won't go there for now. And applying this explanatory paradigm enables one to make sense of the behaviour in the sense of yielding insight or understanding into why the organism displays that behaviour as opposed to some other one. And in a series of publications in the 1980s, Dennett argued, and there's one aspect of his views that hasn't received the discussion it deserved, that really this is akin to adopting the intentional stance. I mean, even when the organisms are relatively unintelligent. But what you're doing, Dennett argues, is trying to interpret the organism's behaviour and trying to find the reason for which it's done. And he argued that the type of understanding that project when successful yields of an evolved organism's behaviour is sort of comparable to the type of understanding we achieve in intentional psychology when we understand why someone did something, explaining it in terms of what they believed and what they wanted. And in most of my talk is really a sort of reflection on an attempt to elucidate that idea of Dennett that I think is an interesting idea. Which leads me on to talk about the idea of adaptation as proto-rationality. The motivation for which is the observation that a lot of adaptive behaviour, particularly vertebrates, but not only, but also of insects, and to some extent even of microbes, is goal-directed in an obvious sense, and it seems clearly fashioned for an end, is flexible, and is often exquisitely environment-sensitive. And so the organism then ends up doing the right thing, the appropriate thing, for the environment in which it finds itself. And by calling this notion of they're calling this proto-rational behaviour, what I mean to suggest is that it's functionally equivalent to the rational behaviour that we're familiar with when we think about rationality in relation to humans, in the sense of instrumental rationality. I mean, in that the organism behaves as if it had a goal and as if it is choosing an action that will further that goal. And that I think, is the sort of non-metaphorical, it's a bit of a metaphor, but it is a sort of clearer way of explaining what Dennett was getting at when he talked about adopting the intentional stance to animals, irrespective of their psychological complexity. So, for example, in Tronald Fender's ethological work from the 1980s on vervet monkeys in Kenya by Seyfarth and Cheney, maybe familiar to many people, they observed that the vervet monkeys have a very sophisticated mechanism of alerting each other to danger. In that an acoustically different alarm call is given, distinguishable to a human ear as well, depending on the predator that's approaching. And in this, it's an appropriate response. So for example, a leopard, when the vervet monkey sees a leopard, and it gives the leopard alarm call, causing its fellow troop members to run into the trees, which is exactly the right thing to do if a leopard's coming, or if a snake is coming. And an intentional description here seems almost inevitable. It's very hard to really explain what's going on without saying the scene. The monkey that's keeping guard has seen the predator approaching, wants to alert its fellow members of the monkey troop to the danger, and so gives this signal, which means that there's a leopard approaching, and the other receiving animal understands that and runs into a tree. And so then, in a fairly clear sense, I think the sender and the receiver are both rational, both do the right thing from the set of options available to them, the set of possible alarm calls that could be given, and the set of possible responses that could be taken. Both of them do the right thing, and that's why it's biologically adaptive. So that's the sense in which I think we can talk about rationality here. And I don't think if this is particularly controversial, but really just a gloss on something that's fairly everyday bit of behavioural biology. I want to contrast that, which I repeat is unsuggestious, I think, with something that is rather more controversial way of linking adaptation and rationality that we find in Dennett, and he sort of slides deliberately between this more controversial notion of thinking of Mother Nature as a rational agent herself. He sort of slides between that and this and the thing I was talking about previously. And the idea here is that we can think about the process of natural selection itself over intergenerational time as akin to a process of rational choice in which some phenotypes and the genes that give rise to them are chosen or selected over other ones according to some criterion, namely biological fitness, exactly that is. And so we can think of the evolutionary process itself, insofar as driven by natural selection, as akin to a process of rational choice by nature. And of course, I mean, if this idea were to be accepted, then, I mean, there's no particular necessity that we focus on behavioural phenotypes. I mean, this could apply to hardwired aspects of an animal's physiology just as well as it is flexible behavioural. The choice happens over intergenerational time. So then the process of adaptive evolution
rather than the products of it, the real-time organisms which behave, engage in behaviour in real-time, learn in their own lifetimes how to behave, are assimilated to rational choice. I think of this as contentious for very many reasons. They're interesting. And so I mentioned that to lay it aside. What I'm focusing on is, for the moment, is what I've called adaptation as proto-rationality, which is specifically a thesis about the evolved adaptive behaviour of organisms. And the advantages then of this view, of viewing adaptive behaviour as proto-rational, firstly, it explains that what's otherwise rather puzzling, the use of the intentional idiom in behavioural ecology, talk of what an animal is trying to do, what it knows, what it wants, what its goals are, in a sense, is obviously more just a different way of talking about function or adaptive significance. But I think you do want some story about why this idiom is so natural and so widespread within the branch of evolutionary biology that studies animal behaviour. Also, I think it explains why rational choice models from decision theory and also from game theory have such natural, fruitful biological applications. Again, on the face of it, a striking phenomenon, given that such models were originally designed to think about the behaviour of rational, deliberating, cognitively sophisticated human agents, and why they should apply so effectively to animals whose mental lives we don't make huge value. And finally, it suggests a route by which real nationality, the sort that we mean when we talk about humans, roughly, may have evolved. So the idea that's why using the proto. So the idea then is simply that adaptive behaviour is a sort of evolution of a person, a genuinely rational behaviour. But I think it's pretty obvious, and is really just another way of putting a gloss on the widely accepted thesis that behavioural plasticity is the precursor of cognition. Okay, so those are the reasons why I think this is a view worth exploring. So questions I want to focus on then are as follows. Firstly, is this idea of adaptation as proto-rationality defensible? And what concept of rationality is really at work here when we talk this way? Thirdly, can we really genuinely forge a link between the utility-maximising paradigm in rational choice and the fitness-maximising paradigm in evolutionary biology? So it's not always posed like that, but related questions have seen a lot of attention. I'll say some things about that. And then finally, is it possible to give a biological basis for the traditional norms of rationality? Explain what I mean by that in a minute. Okay. So I'll start by saying a little bit about the concept of rationality itself. And here I'm going to draw on a very insightful discussion by a biologist called Alex Kaselnik in a 2010 paper. I'll lay out what he says and then explain where I think he goes wrong or right. I very largely agree with what he has to say. And he starts out by distinguishing three different concepts of rationality that he says one finds at work in philosophy and behavioural sciences. One that he calls P-rationality, where the P meant is meant to stand for philosophy and psychology. These really are a metaphor of as families of concepts rather than sharply defined things. Secondly, what he calls irrationality, which means understanding of rationality in economic theory. And then thirdly, what he calls b-rationality. Now, you may wonder whether it's taxonomy based on disciplinary divides, really, half-naturally as a choice, but I actually think he's onto something important here. And although, the word isn't always used, but these concepts certainly are distinct and do feature. So what he means by p-rationality is, roughly speaking, the domain of practical reason, particularly with the instrumental rationality in philosophy, where a paradigm formulation has it that an agent acts because they wish to achieve a certain end. and believes that some course of action is a suitable, possibly optimal means to that end. And this, of course, then is the domain of intentional psychology, folk psychology, and requires that the agents in question have, certainly that they have representation of mental states, they have beliefs and desires, and presumably that they can reason, and as some philosophers will have it, as more, yet more stringent requirements, that they act for the appropriate reasons, or they reflect on what their reasons are, or something. So in any case, I mean, clearly the preserve of relatively few species, possibly our own, but probably not even all members of the species all of the time. By irrationality, then, he's referring to the concept of rationality we find in game and decision theory in microeconomics more generally, where the focus is typically on choice behaviour and the form that behaviour takes in the face of economic constraints, and where the paradigm is to think of rationality as consistency, so-called consistency of choice, where the idea is to lay down requirements, axiomatic requirements, on a person's choice behaviour, typically on their binary preferences, and then to extract a rationality theory or criterion from that. So one paradigm for choice under uncertainty and the expected utility maximisation, where the problem is, how should you choose between options in ignorance of how the world is going to turn out? Another paradigm where you're dealing with so-called intertemporal preference, choosing between consuming now and postponing consumption to the future, paradigm of exponential discounting, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a moment. And if proponents of this way of looking at rationality to be taken seriously, then the theory is meant to be entirely free of psychological commitments, and so is applicable to animals as to humans. And indeed, these sorts of doctrines have indeed been tested, taken to be as descriptive rather than normative accounts of choice behaviour, have indeed been tested in animals, including rats and pigeons. But I think, there's clearly a question about whether the much vaunted freedom from psychological commitments is desirable and even really possible. And utility, of course, here simply means whatever the agent cares about. But of course, that by no means makes this class of theories trivial. On the contrary, but in the consistency conditions that are really rather demanding for an agent to be described or as a utility maximizing tool, as still expected utility maximizing. Okay. And then finally, B rationality, which refers to roughly the sort of thing I meant before, behavior that's biologically adaptive or maximizes Darwinian fitness. And this then comes from the application of the adaptationist program to behavior, we talked about that. And is the rationality concept we find widely in use in behavioral ecology. And really genuinely put to work in that some testable predictions are drawn from, or at least make this assumption that evolved behavior should be rational in this sense. Okay, so I think there's a lot to be said about each of these. I think my own view, just one comment. You might ask what the relation is between the E and the P rationality ideas. Some philosophers including some people like David Lewis, wanted to argue that you can think of certain theories within the E rationality framework, such as expected utility, for example, as being kind of formalizations of belief, desire, psychology. So being sort of regimentations of ideas from P-rationality. I regard that as a controversial viewpoint. So I think the better way to look at it is just to think of all three as being bona fide rationality notions, and then to see what we can say beyond that. One thing you might say, and this is where I disagree with Kasanik, I think he essentially wants to say this, is that these are just different dimensions of normative evaluation. And so really all that it calls for is a system of subscripting that we consistently adhere to, so we don't talk past each other. And obviously, disambiguation is a valid goal in itself. But I think there's a bit more to be said than that. we just need to disambiguate your own notion. I mean, sometimes that's all there is to say in philosophy, but sometimes it isn't, and there's a kind of deeper reason why we may use the same word. I mean, obviously the notions shouldn't be confused, but I want to try and say a little bit more than that. And I'll start by trying to say something about the interrelations between three concepts as I see it. I mean, so there are two questions I want to ask. Firstly, what the domain of application of each criterion is, that's to say, how we pick out a set of things that can be sensibly evaluated by that criteria at all. I mean, we don't presumably want to evaluate the behaviour of bees, say, by the full-blooded p-rationality concept that requires mental states and conscious awareness of them. That's the domain of application question. And then the second question I want to ask is, when more than one criterion is applicable, does satisfaction of one of the criteria of evaluation imply satisfaction of the others? I mean, to see why there are these two questions, I mean, that's just a corollary of the familiar point that the epithet rational has two contraries. We talk about someone who's not rational being irrational or irrational. Irrational means that the concept doesn't even apply to the thing in question. Irrational means it doesn't apply, but isn't satisfied. So then, I mean, to focus on the first question, what are the requirements for each of these notions? But I take it that being rational, the biological notion of rationality applies to any evolved behaviour. I mean, you might say, well, why does it have to be behaviour at all? If you take, say, you know, a mammal whose kidneys don't work properly or something, then we can sensibly talk about something going wrong, about a malfunction, about an error, if you like, about something not being as it should. But it's not useful to think of that as a shortcoming of rationality, as a rational failure. So I tend to think that we do want to preserve this concept for evolved behaviour as opposed to evolved, well-adapted phenotypes of any sort. Irrational, I mean, I think that for this concept to work, to make sense, you need something identifiable as preference and choice and arguably belief and learning in the animal's own lifetime, and not just over evolutionary time. If you take an organism that exhibits adaptive behaviour but in a highly constrained set of circumstances, then it's not particularly useful to think of it as choosing to do one thing over another, or preferring one outcome to another. So I'm thinking, for example, that the bee rational concept can usefully apply to bacteria swimming towards a chemical gradient, for example, whereas to pigeons foraging for food, we can apply the